Meat, we're going to talk about what we're fighting over in a second, but first of all, we need the people's help. Before this big weekend, people are going to do some grilling. We need mic drops on the 101 ESPN app, and I think that we're leaning towards competitive eating.
That's the plan so far. So, of course, the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Competition is tomorrow. We want to know from you. Are competitive eaters actual athletes? Does it take really any talent? They have to train? Let us know what you think. Give us some reasons. And if you've ever had a moment where you've been just kind of throwing food down your gullet, stuff in your face, and you think you can compete with them, let us know. Maybe it's
That's what I'm interested in, honestly.
Pizza. If you think you can compete with these athletes, these people, in some of these events, let us know what you think it could be in and what you could do it in.
That's what I'm most interested in, is what you think you could competitively eat. Like, what can you just hammer down? And by the way, this is eating, so we're not going to count beer here?
No, beer.
That's next week. Super easy.
Super easy. All right. Well, leave us your mic drops. Are they athletes? What can you eat? Are you disgusted by it? You
know, what is it? That's me. I'm totally grossed out.
I get a little bit of the gag when I'm watching them dip the hot dog
in the water. Just the whole event. I can't watch any of it.
It's a lot.
It's disgusting.
All right, let's bring in today's fighter with a chance to be in the Hall of Fame. He's won two in a row. It's Jason. Jason, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Brad.
You ready to take on Randy? You know what's in store today, or what is at stake?
I understand what's at stake. I don't understand the benefits, but
I got to be totally honest with
you. There's no benefit.
We don't understand the benefit either. We actually don't even have a hall. Is there a thing on our website, Mead?
I think so.
There's probably supposed to be.
To be fair, that's not my job.
Do you turn over names to somebody? Do you say, yeah, this person
usually,
is in the hall?
Usually, yeah. Most of the time.
What does that person do then?
So we used to have a thing where we would do pictures, but I think that's stopped like two employees ago.
But it could start again.
Yeah, it could. It could be you.
Anyways, right. Jason, it means nothing, but you can change your signature, okay?
That sounds great.
All right, here we go. Question number one. Who is the Mariners wins leader with 169 career wins? Is it Randy Johnson, Felix Hernandez, or Jamie Moyer?
Wow. Jamie Moyer played for like 25 years.
He's probably still playing.
Yeah, he could be. I'm gonna say Randy Johnson.
Question two: The 1999 Women's World Cup is remembered for Brandi Chastain whipping her jersey off after scoring in a penalty shootout. What team did the United States beat in that game? Was it China, Brazil, or Norway?
Oh man, I'm gonna say Norway.
All right, Jason, question number three. It's the Cards and Mariners tonight. Each team had a slugger in the 1998 home run chase. How many total players hit 50 or more home runs in that season? Was it 3, 4, or 5?
Four.
And question number four. According to a USA Today survey, Americans eat 150 million hot dogs on the 4th of July. That's a whole lot of wieners. According to that same study, Missouri ranks 11th among states in total hot dog consumptions. How many hot dogs do Missourians eat per capita annually? Is it 143, 179, or 216? A, B, or C?
B.
All right, let's bring...
B for Brad.
B for Brad. I think that works.
I think that works.
Let's bring in Randy. Jason, how we feeling?
Terrible. I think after not hearing of any benefits, I don't know. My brain went dead there.
That happens.
Those numbers on that last one, man.
They all seem kind of ridiculous.
It can't be right.
I thought we did pretty good for a couple weeks. Or, you know, these last couple days, Meade actually had some decent questions.
Whoa.
I think he's gonna love that hot dog question.
Wow.
Hey. Oh no, it's good. Well, at least it's topical. The one that he throws out randomly. One of my favorite ones here recently is who is leading the NL East or something like that. That was one of my favorite.
That was questions.
His best record in baseball.
Oh, yeah, he had a little senioritis that day.
It was fun. Randy, say hi to Jason.
Jason, welcome back, sir. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Randy.
Randy, you know that Jason today is fighting for a place in the 4 o'clock fight Hall of Fame, and we had a little conversation together as a group, and we've realized we have no clue what that means. Like, we don't know. There's not a real hall. I think we stopped doing stuff on the website about it. We told him he could change his autograph.
To HOF.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That might be about it. Maybe we'll throw in some other stuff. We'll come up with a T-shirt or something. You ready for this, Randy?
Ready.
All right. Here we go. Okay. Question number one. Who is the Mariners' wins leader with 169 career wins?
King Felix Hernandez.
Question number two, 1999 Women's World Cup. You know about Brandi Chastain taking off the jersey.
Beat China. Yeah, it was great.
Well, what team did they beat?
Oh, China.
All right.
Question number three, Randy. The Cardinals and Mariners both had a slugger in the 1998 home run chase. How many total players hit 50 or more home runs that season?
1998. So you had McGuire, and you had Sosa, and you had Griffey. Was that the year that Vaughn hit 50? I think it was. I think he might have done it in 99. So I am going to say that it was just those three.
All right, question number four. According to a USA Today survey, Americans eat 150 million hot dogs on the 4th of July. That is a whole lot of hot dogs.
Yeah.
According to that same study, Missouri ranks 11th among states in total hot dog consumption. How many hot dogs do Missourians eat per capita annually? And Randy, I'm going to have to give you some numbers here.
Okay.
Because you're going to have to be able to guess. Is it 143? 179 or 216? That's eighth. Who is number one? Look, make sure you find that number, Meat. I want to know what they're.
I got you.
Okay.
Either way, it's more than a hot dog every other day for the average Missourian. I will go with, we don't have many Kobayashis or Chestnuts in our state. I'll go with that low number. I'll go 143.
All right. We've got a winner. Jason, I'm sorry. It's pretty obvious that the pressure mounted up, and look, it got to you. Randy got you 2-1. Tough fight today. 2-1.
Oh.
It was close. It was Felix Hernandez. Felix Hernandez is the Mariners' wins leader. He's got 169 of them. In 1999, the Women's World Cup, USA beat China in the title game. It is four players in the 1998 season had 50 or more home runs. McGuire was 70, Sosa was 66, Ken Griffey Jr. had 56, and Mo Vaughn had 50 of them. And it is 216 hot dogs, apparently, Missourians eat per year. Ugh. That is obscene.
I can't believe
that
that's
number.
Right.
I got a feeling we're going to talk about this again in a minute because that's ridiculous. But, hey, Jason, thanks for playing, man, and try again.
Thanks, guys. You're the best.
Thanks, Jason.
So, 216 hot dogs?
Right.
Seriously, me.
I've got some numbers for you. Okay.
Please.
Illinois, second highest in the nation per capita annually at 317.
What the hell?
Who has a Chicago dog a day? Who does that?
Chicago, I guess.
I'll give you guys a guess on number one. What state?
West Virginia, Alabama.
481 per capita annually for West Virginia.
It is West Virginia.
Really?
481.
No way.
What a bunch of. Is that what coal miners eat?
Franks and beans.
It's so good.
That can't
amazing.
Be right.
Only 1.8 million people.
This can't be right, though. It really. I don't understand.
Think about all the hot dogs on the street in New York.
Yeah,
in every corner, yeah.
There's tons of street meat out there.
So they eat the lowest amount of hamburgers, only 171 per person.
Because they're eating hot dogs instead.
In West Virginia?
Yeah.
Man.
That's a great statistic.
That is, and that's all from USA Today?
Yeah, USA Today and the Wall Street Journal.
Seems reputable.
Wow.
That is a whole lot. By the way, I'd love to get text in 65780 if you believe that you eat around 216 hot dogs a day. We're not going to say your name
year.
Or anything.
A year.
I'm sorry, a year.
I would guess that I eat maybe 10 hot dogs a year.
If I don't recall, like if I'm at a barbecue and there are dogs there, I'm probably not just going to have one. I probably have two hot dogs
But that might happen, maybe 10 times a year.
How many people
eat? Maybe 20 for me.
Who eats four per week?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that's basically what it is.
It's amazing.
You know what else we learned with this question? Scotty, no matter how many times you tried to explain to him, still has no idea what per capita means.
I think we all should have had a lesson here just now to explain, because there's people in their car right now wondering, is per capita per household?
Scotty also didn't know annually.
I did know annually.
He had a struggle with annually.
There was a meetup on there. It's not my fault. It's Meat's fault.
Blame somebody. Oh. You've got business figured out, man.
Per capita. It's per person.
It's coming up on 4:15 in the Fast Lane. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. As we approach the July 4th mark this baseball season, many teams are still in the hunt for a playoff spot, but there's not much competition inside the divisions. We'll break it all down next on 101 ESPN. You fellas thinking that baseball has more parity this year than in most years? I know the divisions are a mess in terms of competitiveness, but if you look at the teams that are in the hunt for a playoff spot, man, pretty much everybody is.
Yeah, I do feel that way, and I feel that way without even looking at the standings. There are a couple of teams, I'm just going eyeball test. There are a couple of teams that you watch and you see them and you're like, oh, you're better than other teams. The Yankees are one of those teams. Mm-hmm. The Yankees are just better than people. They mash, and apparently they just signed Mickey Mantle, so
yeah, right.
That's going to help them in a couple of years. They got that going for them. The Dodgers have been better than everybody else. I believe the Astros are better than everybody else, but outside of that, just watching teams compete, I feel like there is a lot of parity, and the numbers bear it out. There are a lot of teams right now, as we sit here in the beginning of July, that are within striking distance of a playoff spot. And with the one trade deadline, a lot of teams have big-time decisions to make as to what does the future of their franchise look like.
And especially in the National League, there are so many teams that are – and I think that you could reasonably look at the teams you think – will maintain the position they're in. Like, they're in playoff contention right now, but who's going to be there?
15 teams are within 4.5. Is Pittsburgh at the end of the year? Is Cincinnati, San Diego, are those teams going to be there?
Right, and I think if you want to go a little bit further, and you could say 6.5 games out are the Giants, the only team that is double digits out of a playoff spot, and we're talking about the wild card right now, is the Marlins, who are 11.5 games out. Everybody else, in terms of just the wild card, not even considering the divisions here, Giants, Mets, Reds, Pirates, Cards, Padres, Diamondbacks, Nationals, Rockies right now are within 6.5 games of a wild card spot, with the Phillies and Cubs taking up those first two spaces. Now, I think, like you said, Randy, you could go through and say the Giants aren't going to be there in the end. The Mets are not going to be there. I don't think the Reds are going to be there either. But as of right now, as we're halfway through the season, you've got a lot of teams who are pretty close.
By the way, the division races, the Dodgers are running away with the NL West, 13 games in front. The Braves have a 4.5 game lead over Philly in the NL East. And in the American League, Houston leads Oakland by 7. Minnesota leads second place Cleveland by 7. And the Yankees have a 5.5 game lead over Tampa. The only really competitive division at the moment, and a lot can change, as we saw last year, with Oakland in the AL wild card race, and then in the West, Milwaukee has a one-game lead over the Cubs, 3.5 over the Cardinals. Pittsburgh is 4 back, and Cincinnati is 5.5 back, and Cincinnati has to feel like, hey, we got as good a shot as anybody.
They probably should feel that way. I mean, look, you're in the thick of things. I still don't believe that Cincinnati has what it takes.
Agreed.
But to do it. But
you have to think that way,
though.
Yeah,
no, of course you do. You attack that way. That's what we were talking to Skip Schumacher about last week when we were talking before the Padres series. I asked him, hey, look, you know where you guys are in the standing with the wild card. Do you believe you're a wild card team? Of course we do. We believe we're a playoff team. You have to. And by the way, after watching them, at least from an offensive side, yeah, I believe in them, too. That's a really good ball club. When you guys look at the couple of divisions out there, and certainly the Central is the one that everybody looks at it as a tight one, maybe not the best teams because of what we've seen this year, but a tight division nonetheless. Is there another division that you look at and say, all right, well, this is going to come back to earth?
Yes.
Which one?
I just think that Washington can go on a run, and even with the addition of Keuchel, I'm not so sure that Atlanta can sustain their excellence that they displayed in June.
I think it's a great one. And honestly, the Phillies, even though they're five games over 500, I think the Phillies have underperformed.
You get Arrieta and Nola. Nola has not pitched well. If you get those starting pitchers going, then you've got something in Philly. And by the way, Harper has yet to really take off either.
Do you think the likelihood is, well, at least one of the wild cards is probably coming out of the East? I think that we would agree on that, right?
Yeah.
Do you think it's both?
I hope not.
And I hope not either, because I think that's really the only path for the Cardinals, the best path for the Cardinals to get into the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I think it could be. I mean, just looking at the Phillies and the Nationals, I think it very well could be. But
it's not going to be the West.
It's not. If I got to pick one more division that I believe will come back to Earth, it's probably the one with the team that I think is widely regarded as the biggest surprise being the leader is the AL Central with the Twins. Twins are 53-31. They've got a 7-game lead over the Indians. I think the Indians will end up making a push in this one.
Now, at ESPN.com, David Schoenfield says the Cardinals are in the definitely still in it category. He regards their chances of making the playoffs as 20.5%. He said the Cardinals are sitting at 500 and they're projected to finish at 500. Maybe this is just a 500 team, especially when Paul Goldschmidt, Matt Carpenter, and Yadier Molina are each sitting with below average OPS. They'll have to figure out the back of games without Jordan Hicks and need better second halves from Jack Flaherty and Miles Michaelis, but the playoff hopes seem to rest on the expensive shoulders of their three 30-something veteran hitters, which we have said a lot.
Kind of hard to disagree with. I am not worried about the back end of ball games. I believe that to be pretty well covered for the Cardinals. I agree that your guys are going to have to hit, and you need more out of your starting pitching. You certainly need more out of Jack Flaherty. There's more there with Miles Michaelis. You need continued success for Dakota Hudson. So there's a lot of things you got to put together. Fangraphs has the Cardinals right now at a 17.5% chance. They also have the Cubs at the Cubs are a 71.6 and Brewers 51. So that's a significant fall off for the Cardinals.
Oh, I think it's because you can look at what the issues are and trying to figure out. All we're doing here is trying to project. Yes, this is where they are right now. Yes, they're a handful of games out of a wild card spot. But is the trajectory for them this season headed in the right direction? And are they going to do much at the trade deadline to help get them into that position? Look, if they are where they are right now, about 3.5-4 games out of wild card, or 2.5 even, I don't see them doing anything really significant at the deadline, because I would think that privately in the front office, they probably look at their situation like, look, what are we going to do? Give up a bunch of assets, prospects to improve our lot for this year when it's still pretty dicey? I don't see them doing that.
But at some point, they're going to have to. At some point, they're going to have to say, okay, this is the year that it's not acceptable to miss the playoffs anymore.
And that's true. I agree
with
that.
We need to show our fans that we're going for it.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that, because I don't think that I can – well, doesn't I guess I understand the fact that you want to show him in the middle of the season. I felt like getting Paul Goldschmidt and paying him was showing you that you cared. Going out and getting Andrew Miller was showing him. I don't know if you make your point by going out and acquiring somebody and sacrificing your future. I don't know if that makes your point.
And I've got some untouchables. We had our untouchables list the other day. I've got guys that if I'm the Cardinals, I won't trade. But I'm not going to protect a dozen prospects anymore for a future. If I can get Madison Bumgarner for a couple of guys that are going to help out San Francisco in the future, then I'm going to do that. And if you look at the trades of Cole Hamels, the Cubs didn't have to hardly give up anything for Cole Hamels, who had a good postseason history and was not having a good year for Texas, kind of like Bumgarner is right now. Now the market might be different, but I don't think that any team is going to give up its top couple of prospects for a rental of Madison Bumgarner.
No.
Anybody.
Well, it depends. I mean, I think it, again, might go back to the conversation we had earlier. If there's a team that thinks that's the only thing they need, and if they get that one thing, then they
Yankees,
are in great.
Where they just look at it and be like, oh,
maybe
okay.
They have an injured starter, or they feel like, look, this is – the Yankees are going to have an embarrassment of riches of young prospects probably forever, because they're always going to spend internationally as much as they can. They've always developed really well and drafted really well. So that's going to keep continuing. So they probably are not at all, and they shouldn't be, worried about losing prospects to get what they want.
Well, they just signed the next Mickey Mantle.
And they did just sign the next Mickey Mantle.
So that helps for them.
Is he 16?
16, yeah.
Damn.
Clint Frazier is probably going to get moved, though, with the addition of Encarnacion there. They've got an outfielder, a major league outfielder that can play, that they can move, and they're loaded with young pitching.
But here's where I agree with you on the idea that at some point the Cardinals have to say, we are going for it, we're getting back to the playoffs. But a lot of that work has to be done offseason. And, yeah, the Goldschmidt acquisition was great. It hasn't worked out yet. And I envision that he's going to get better here. I can't imagine he's going to hit like this for the rest of the year. I think he's going to get better. We've got a track record to look at. But for me, it was always an issue of how are you catching up with the teams in the National League that are damn good? Mm-hmm. How are you catching up with the Cubs? How are you catching up with the Brewers? How are you catching up with the Dodgers? And even the Braves. I mean, I think that's really the issue for me. It's not just for me getting to the playoffs. It's getting to the playoffs and having a legit chance to make noise once you get there. And a lot of that.
If you make the playoffs, generally you do.
Yeah, you've got an opportunity.
So that's all anybody can ask for is your opportunity, right? It's all you can ask for. The Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. And yes, BT.
Who starts your wild card game?
That's what I'm talking about.
Madison Bumgarner.
Good answer.
From the Cardinals to the 4th of July, we want all of your questions now to the Hot Shots text line at 65780 because the Sports Six Pack is coming your way on 101 ESPN. And we do appreciate your text to the Hot Shots text line 65780 with your questions for us. Here is Big Sizz.
Guys, who's more likely to be a Blue in 2020, Braden Schenn or Alex Pietrangelo?
Petro.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Petro as well. He's held up pretty well, hasn't he?
Yeah. Team is built on its defense, and Pietrangelo, normally, not that Schenn is an issue with age, but normally defensemen can go for a long, long time. You feel much more comfortable giving him a 6-7-8-year contract than you would a forward. He is your captain. He is a St. Louisan, and they have young forwards on the way that they like. I'm kind of surprised that they didn't do more to try to move Schenn with a year left, with his value as high as it would be after winning the Stanley Cup, because they want to move Rob Thomas to center. Rob Thomas is going to be their number one or two center in 2020.
Comes down to what would you have a more difficult time filling the gap? Yeah. Which one of those players? You're going to have a really tough time filling Pietrangelo's skates.
He's only 29. He's a couple of years.
And he was really good. And I know every now and then we talk about the turnovers in his own zone, that kind of thing. There's not going to be a perfect player, okay? But overwhelmingly what he does on the ice for them, and I think the leadership stuff, I think he's invaluable, and he's really difficult to replace.
Do you guys think fireworks are overdone at this point? You see him at baseball games. You see him for every little party everybody has.
No.
Yep, I think they are.
Oh, I don't at all.
No.
People show up for him.
Like, I don't have
people
dogs.
People love fireworks. People enjoy fireworks. You'll buy a ticket because it's firework night.
I don't.
I think the only people who don't like it are people with dogs.
And PTSD.
PTSD.
Yeah.
That's right.
We're going to find out if Darby Shaw likes fireworks tomorrow. We're going to find that out.
I don't know if there are dogs that like fireworks, but maybe tolerate.
Yeah, Tucker always
did. That would be
awesome,
though. Like, run around the backyard, like, woo, look at the fireworks.
That would be pretty cool.
Dad, come check this out.
Yeah, we've had a couple of dogs that, when we would take them out to watch the fireworks, didn't have many problems with them. But we did have a dog that despised them. Max did not like fireworks at all.
Yeah, the one dog I had would always hide under the couch.
Yeah. My dog does not do so well with that or thunderstorms. Neither one's good. But I enjoy fireworks. I love fireworks shows. I didn't like them as much when we were playing on the road and I was pitching and they play them during the game. That wasn't my favorite seat for fireworks. But I like
them. Here's my thing. I can take them or leave them. I'm not at this stage going to make special trips out just to see or hear fireworks?
I hate that where I live I can't set off fireworks, because I would love to just go up the street, buy a freaking truckload of fireworks, and just go crazy. That'd on the 4th of July. But apparently it's frowned upon.
You got a lot of trees in your neighborhood?
Yeah, pretty well-established ones, too. Pretty big trees.
Well, at least they'll hide you shooting them off. You know what I mean?
I don't know. My neighbors, where are they coming from? Rats.
You think so?
Maybe.
Do you?
Unless I invited them all over.
Do you interact with your neighbors?
Yeah, my neighbors are all great. They're all super nice.
Yeah, they won't hang out.
Everybody's got, you know, families and kids and lives, but my neighbors are awesome.
I have good neighbors, too, except I don't know their names. I do.
Manny, how long have you lived in your house?
22 years.
Wait, really?
Yeah. No, I know our next door neighbors' names, and I know the guy across the street. But otherwise, we have a lot of both next door neighbors' names.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's important.
Yeah,
and right next door to you, in case of emergency, you better know who they are.
Yeah, but otherwise, we've had tremendous turnover in the neighborhood since it started, and I work off hours, so you know I don't come home to hang out with the neighbors. I know some of them.
So you're saying you know the people you care to know.
Exactly. Yep.
Uh-huh. So anybody listening who knows Randy lives next to them and he has not made an effort to talk to you, he doesn't care to.
Leave well enough alone.
Right.
Exactly.
What would it take for the Cardinals to turn into buyers at the deadline?
Hot streak?
Yeah, just a couple victories in a row is what it would take. And honestly, and that's not to be said that they couldn't do it right now with where they're sitting. We don't know what their position to do or what they want to do, but it would certainly help force their hand if you could put together some good baseball games and show a tiny bit of consistency.
And one of the issues that everybody that's buying will have, we just talked about all the teams that are in the playoff hunt, there aren't many sellers that have stuff to sell. The Giants... Who else has stuff to sell that you say, okay, well, that would really be nice?
Kansas City.
Danny Duffy, maybe?
I don't have much I would want, I don't think.
Who's that?
Kansas City.
What about Witt?
Yeah, I don't think that they're going
to
trade him.
They just signed him to an extension, so, yeah, it's going to be hard.
So
Toronto,
that's the thing.
Stroman, and...
Giles potentially out of the bullpen. The thing is, with all the parity around, and while it's great that there are so many teams that are in on it, it actually sucks for teams that are trying to acquire some talent.
Yeah, it does.
Like, it's a lot easier to just be able to make a trade and be like, oh, okay, well, we're out of it. We'll look for next year. There are too many teams that are in the thick of things. It's going to be hard to make those moves.
I wonder if Seattle would move Kyle Seager or Santana. Not that the Cardinals have any use for Santana. Well, he should start here. Kyle Seager, even though he's having a bad year, would be interesting.
What about Marco Gonzalez?
He'd be a good guy to have.
Wish they had him.
Yeah.
What's the closest you guys have ever been to blowing your hand or something else up with a firework?
For me, it was only those little lady fingers, which if they blew up in your hand, it didn't make any difference anyway. But when I was probably 14,
Wait, what's 15, a lady finger?
It's a little teeny firecracker. Very small. You can hold it, and it'll blow up in your hand, and it won't blow your fingers off.
Okay.
But it gives you a little charge. It's pretty cool. So we used to do that. Hey, we were typical kids, 14, 15, and fireworks were allowed in the neighborhood, and we would light the fuse. And we'd see as far down as we could get the fuse before throwing the firecracker up in the air. And a couple of times, it would blow
up. Get a little
up.
Too close.
And then another time, we had our annual bottle rocket fight at the bottom of the hill. And we had these poles. It was kind of like a flagpole, and you'd shoot bottle rockets. Well, one time, I lit one accidentally. I don't know why, but the bottle rocket went right into my buddy's mom's beehive hairstyle up on a deck about 150 feet away. Went right through her beehive hair, scared the hell out of her.
Oh, I bet it did.
It was funny.
I had a quarter stick of dynamite once that threw out.
Right, JPP.
Yeah, no big deal. These things were awesome, by the way. But threw it, and I'm like, it's a dud. And then started walking up on it. And I gave it a minute, you know. I'm like, oh, it's a dud. And then, like, a couple steps into walking up on it, boom!
Wow.
And it was, it rattled windows and stuff. Like, all right, I'm good with these. I'm done.
We used to have people that shot Roman candles at people.
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah.
It's fun. Don't do it, though. Don't. Okay, if you're listening, don't shoot fireworks at another person and don't shoot them at somebody's house.
It is amazing that we're alive in here. That my generation, for what we did with fireworks, that we didn't have.
Oh, yeah.
And no seatbelts.
Yeah. Right, exactly. No helmets for our bikes.
Smoking while pregnant. Whatever.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
Well, obviously.
Do you guys have the mindset that if Goldie does not figure things out, he does not turn it around, that the Cardinals are essentially screwed?
Oh, for the entirety of his Cardinal career?
No, just for the season. Season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Both. Yeah. The answer is going to be yes for both of them, actually. Yeah. No, they're screwed. No pressure.
And strawberry shortcake. Is it the number one summer treat? Summer
Absolutely
dessert?
Absolutely not.
What? It's ice cream.
Strawberry shortcake? No, it's, it's like whipped cream.
What's the number one summer treat?
Is it the number one summer treat?
Is strawberry shortcake.
No.
But it's not. No, Fritz's special, five locations. By the
Cha-ching.
Way, I get Reese's peanut butter cups with mine, but the locations in West County, Florissant, Wentzville, O'Fallon, and St. Peter's, Fritz's frozen custard is clearly the number one frozen or summer treat.
Oh, a little late to the party, but he did it.
Yep.
Scotty was playing on his phone. I was giving him crap for
I'm
it.
Not a huge fan of strawberry shortcake, I must admit. You guys, strawberry shortcake?
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Yeah. I told you, I was telling you guys off air, I had strawberry pie for the first time a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Like, were the strawberries on top of whipped cream?
No, the whipped cream was on top of the entire strawberry pie.
Okay.
It was so good.
Sounds delicious. There used to be a fantastic restaurant, Coco's, in St. Louis. It was kind of a bakery.
Tons of pies. They had those in Vegas back in the day.
And they had unbelievable strawberry pie. It was great.
I know we talked about this before. Tippins, right?
Tippins had terrific strawberry pie.
It was right here
too.
On Olive.
Yep. It really was. It was, where Payway is right now.
Yep. Loved
it. That's where it was. Hey, thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. With Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving headed to Brooklyn, we figured we should catch up with our friend Sarah Kustak of Fox and the Yes Network. She is a FOR, friend of Ronj.
That's right.
And she's coming your way next on 101 ESPN. To have you with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN, Brad Thompson, Chris Ronji, Randy Carricker, and we just had a big lightning strike right near the studio here.
Hey, it was probably one of the biggest lightning bolts I've seen. Well, went all the way to what appeared to be the ground, and I couldn't see the top of it due to the fact that, we ran out of window. That was impressive.
We're all safe, though. So you stay safe out there.
We didn't hear any thunder, which means our windows are working well. Let's go to the Brown and Crouppen celebrity line, shall we? Sarah Kustak of Yes, the Yes Network, and Fox joins us. And Sarah does analysis for the Brooklyn Nets, who now have signed Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Sarah, great to have you with us here on 101 ESPN in St. Louis. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you guys for having me on.
And a happy 4th of July to you.
To you as well. I can't believe we're already in July. It's gone fast.
It goes really fast. And what also happened fast is that within a matter of a couple of signings, the Nets have made the Knicks irrelevant. That is incredible.
I'm going to let you say it so I don't have to.
Okay, I'll say it.
I have to live here in New York, so I need to be careful.
It is unbelievable, though. Like a flurry, they took a shot on KD that the Knicks weren't able to do. It is offering that max contract knowing that you're getting nothing out of it, and certainly there's risk involved there. But the reward could be unbelievable for the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a situation whereby you look at the player Kevin Durant has been and was prior to this injury. We were talking about him through the early part of the postseason as potentially the current best player in the league as it stands now. So, I think you trust, too, the way his body is built, what his game is predicated on. A lot of how he plays is less about jumping and explosiveness, first step type action, and more just the smoothness and catch and shoot ability and how he can create. And of course, his high release point with his height and guard skill. So I think a lot of that gives you confidence in the player he'll return at. And even if he's 70%, 80% of the Kevin Durant that we saw, he still probably puts him among the best players in the league. So certainly a exciting time for the Brooklyn Nets. And even though it is a little bit of a wait time to get him back on the floor, I do think it'll be impactful when he is able to come back and play.
Kustak, you can totally say whatever you want to about the Knicks because nobody's listening. Nobody that matters is listening.
I've learned in this media game that everyone always hears something, and all of a sudden you're on the internet trashing the Knicks.
Oh, okay. Well,
I've got to answer you, but thank you. But I do think it's fun being here in New York because of the buzz that has been surrounding free agency and leading up to it. And, of course, just the progression of the Brooklyn Nets and then just where they've come about throughout the course of moving to Brooklyn just, you know, 6-7 years ago. So it's certainly a fun moment here to be associated with the organization.
Well, speaking of all of that, there was the report that came out after the fact that the Knicks were not going to be willing to offer max money to him anyway, or at least that's what they said. But it also doesn't sound like he had any interest in going that way. And in knowing that, were you surprised to find out that Brooklyn was going to make that happen and that's a place he wanted to be?
To be honest, not really. I think, you know, I think everyone heard the different rumblings about it, the teams that he was potentially interested in, whether it was the Knicks, whether it was Brooklyn staying in Golden State, of course, is that didn't look quite as likely, but he was giving up a lot of money in that scenario, and then even the Los Angeles Clippers were discussed. But just from the point of Kevin Durant making the decision and covering this organization now and calling their games for so many years, I think you saw the way the culture was being built, the foundation that was being laid, the young players. You know, for those on the outside that were often looking at the records, those of us on the inside saw the way in which they were really building a place where from top to bottom there's a lot of synergy, and that's from the front office, the coaching staff, to the buy-in of the guys, the practice facility, the new arena, how everyone really bought into the big picture of what it was going to take to win. And I think this last season, making the playoffs, getting that 16 in the East, a good hard-fought first round loss to Philadelphia 76ers, I think all of that showed just kind of the foundation of where the organization would be. And then if you add some key pieces, just what they can become. And I think Kyrie Irving played a big role in this too. He's a guy who had talked about wanting to come here for quite some time. I think that had been in the works, and his close relationship with Kevin Durant, I think, did play a part in the recruiting. I don't know, you know, if that entirely helped sway a decision for players of that caliber, but I think the opportunity that they wanted to play with one another does play a role in some of these players on the team currently that they're connected with. And I think we start to see in this league now a lot of it has to do with friendship, guys you want to play with and how you feel like their games fit. And I think all of that in its totality helped bring them to Brooklyn. And I think for those of us that have seen the way the culture has built, the excitement around it, it was very exciting, but I don't think it was a total shock that came out of nowhere.
Nets broadcaster Sarah Kustak with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. And Sarah, it appeared that Kyrie joined a pretty good culture in Boston and things didn't work out there, and a lot of people blaming him. Is the culture in Brooklyn, especially before KD arrives on the scene to play, strong enough so that Kyrie will be able to handle a leadership role there?
And I think that's been a lot of the questions and the dialogue surrounding, and until someone's immersed in it and things play out, I think it's hard to tell. I do think the difference in this circumstance with someone like Kyrie Irving is that this is the first time really in his career that he's making the choice of where he wanted to be. Drafted by Cleveland, of course, he had signed that second contract, which many guys do in Cleveland. But short of that, it was a trade to Boston. This is the first time where he's saying, this is where I want to be. I think he's familiar with the staff. He's familiar with the players. You think that there's probably things in Boston that he's taken from or learned from. And I think a lot of people compare the Celtics core with the Nets core and talk about the similarities just because there's young, growing talent. However, I think, you know, there are some differences in the circumstances. I think, you know, you look at the situation of what the Celtics did the previous year when Kyrie was hurt. and then some of those guys coming back that are looking for contracts or looking for bigger roles, I think it's a different scenario with a lot of these Nets players that were actively a part of wanting to bring Kyrie to the team. Spencer Dinwiddie, who is essentially going to be Kyrie's backup point guard, was one of the biggest advocates in trying to help Irving come to the Nets. So I think all of those things are factors, and I think it's going to be big to see how his relationship grows with the head coach and Kenny Atkinson. He did a tremendous job with D'Angelo Russell in kind of helping him to flourish, and a player that came in that many had questioned his character and leadership and showed a great job in just fitting in because of the infrastructure and those around him. So I do think there's two veterans on the team that will help with that, and I don't think all of it will just rely solely on Kyrie. So, again, you kind of see, you hope that it's going to be a positive experience. I have expectations of that, but I think until you get into those dog days of the season, it's hard to really tell exactly how things will play out.
Sarah, certainly it appears like it's going to be a good thing for the Nets. We've seen the Heat. We've seen Golden State get these group of guys together, friends that want to play ball together, and they build their own super team. So good for individual teams. Do you still believe it to be good for the game of basketball, though, that players can do this?
I am an advocate for the agency of players to play where they want to play and play who they want to play with. And I enjoy it. And I think now, we're all kind of waiting on pins and needles to see what Kawhi Leonard decides and where he decides to go to. Does he stay in Toronto and, a team that took a risk on him bringing him in and a lot of depth and complimentary players? Will he decide to go to the Lakers, joining LeBron James and Anthony Davis, which I think if that happens, they would be the prohibitive favorite heading into next season, or a team like the Clippers who's considering. So, I do think it changes the complexion and the dynamic of kind of how the league sits, although I find it fun to watch elite level players and great players in the game. And if in fact they are playing together, I mean, I think when we looked at Golden State and what they did, the dynasty they put together, it appeared though they would be winning championships for the next 5 years, and you see how things change. So I think there's ebbs and flows always within the course of the NBA. Year to year, things change. But I do appreciate that we're getting to see more of the relationships and more of the fact that, different guys are making choices, whether it's based off winning, whether it's based off teammates, whether it's based off location. Look at a guy like Jimmy Butler now wanting to go down to play with the Miami Heat, and a big part of that being location and being the number one option on the team. So I'm in support of all that. But I think at the end of the day, I'm just in support of these guys having an opportunity to make choices throughout their career of being where they want to be.
And for a division that was already a giant pain for everybody else in the East, it's gotten even better. Well, everybody with the exception of the Knicks, they're still there.
They are still there. But that's going to be the fun thing to watch. And again, I think the last moving piece of this free agency period, Kawhi Leonard and how that works. But it is fun to see because, Toronto is a team that regardless should be good. Milwaukee and how much better they continue to get. And you look at what Philadelphia has done, the different pieces that they have put together. And then, of course, Boston and just kind of how they've rebounded from losing Kyrie Irving and Al Horford and getting Kemba Walker to come play for them. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, to me, this seems to be in the making of one of the most exciting NBA seasons we're coming upon, because there's been so much change. And of course, the Western Conference is one that just, if you try to speculate what eight teams are going to make the playoffs, it's hard to even see where they fit in, because there's just so much depth and just such solid teams top to bottom. So it'll be a lot of fun to see, but that's what I think makes it fun, and that's what makes it fun sometimes when there is a bit of a shift. After us watching the Warriors for so many years continue to roll through the playoffs, it'll be fun to see a shift and some different teams starting to take over.
Sarah, you're great. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it, and have a fantastic holiday.
You guys are the best. Thanks for having me on again. Hopefully we'll do it again sooner. Sooner than later. I keep telling Chris to try and bring me on more often.
Yeah, we'll do that. Absolutely.
He keeps telling me no.
We need to pace ourselves.
Oh, gosh.
Take care.
You guys are the best. Have a good one.
Thank you, Sarah. Sarah Kustak of Yes and Fox, and an analyst for the Brooklyn Nets here on 101 ESPN. Next up, have you ever had a coach with a bad temper? That coach is our next story. He said, "Hold my beer. That's next before Take It or Leave It, a quick one on 101 ESPN.